Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me are our faithful few and Kevin Tinkin. And
fancy feet.
Fancy Kevin.
Fancy lady.
Kevin, you know, you keep us on our toes. You keep us guessing. When are you going to show up? When are you not going to show
up? You never know. I'm a ninja. You got to watch out.
But you are here in studio. This is not some satellite thing. This is you here.
Have we ever had him in on satellite?
We could maybe try that one time.
Well, he did call that one time.
Skype.
That's true. On the painkillers after his surgery.
What's been going on, Kevin? Living the dream or what?
No, man. I've not been living the dream. I'm having a rough day. I'm not happy today.
Oh, man. Oh,
but we're here to make you happier.
That's right.
Ain't Life bad. Got you down?
Yeah, man. I'm just bummed out.
Light
works.
Stinky, huh? But Kevin's got a brand new phone, and
it's about the size of an
iPod Mini.
It's about the size of an iPad Mini.
Nope.
No? Bigger?
Smaller.
Did you ever see that? It was on YouTube for a while. But Kimmel walked around carrying an iPod, just a regular old iPod, and he started going around to different people saying, hey, have you guys seen the new iPad Mini? And they were holding it. They're like, oh, wow, this thing is so light. It's so nice. It's so cool, but it's just a standard iPod. And it's, super funny.
It seems about
people
right.
Believe anything.
Yeah.
Most iPhone users are like that.
Yeah. Jane and Sarah are here as well. Sorry, I haven't acknowledged you guys yet.
Oh, that's fine.
Welcome.
You said the faithful few, so
I feel like very consistent. Yeah. Kevin, we missed you, man. We've had some good shows without you, but our shows are always better with you.
How long has it been? It's not been
it's
that
been
long.
One week.
It's been 1 week. It's not like he was away at war for a year.
Yeah, I had experimental surgery. I lost an arm, but it's back.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But it's back.
Well, 'tis the season, ladies and gentlemen, and we are entering into the next month of Christmas shows. So with that, we're going to be playing Christmas music for, I guess, the rest of the month.
We could. I just wanted it today.
Okay.
Or maybe we could do different themes of Christmas music.
What Christmas songs do we have today? A certain artist or a compilation?
No, just a compilation of songs. They're Sarah did put in a Bieber song, which
one. But then other ones are like just singer-songwriter guys, like Dave Barnes and Jaden Lavick.
There's a Justin Bieber song with it has
Drummer Boy. That's my favorite. Busta Rhymes.
Yeah. Ooh.
I was listening to Delilah
on
98.9.
Who's Delilah?
Come on. Don't act like you know who Delilah is.
Hey there, Delilah. That song?
No. She's a DJ. She's really, really cheesy.
And she has love shows.
But they were playing the song, Sir, I Wanna Buy These Shoes.
This morning? No, this is last night. Somebody was capping on that song this morning.
Well, I started to get emotional, and then I decided to stop
that.
What's
that look like?
I was like, don't do that. Don't show your emotions. So then I started to think about, what if they were stiletto heels?
Why is it bad to show your emotions, Kevin?
I don't know. I was by myself. There's no reason. There's no reason for me to just be sitting in my Montero crying in the rain over a song that's not even about me.
There is this song by Stephen Curtis Chapman called This Baby. And it's This Baby Was
I sang that in junior high.
Do you know what song I'm talking about?
Church.
And then it's This Baby Was Jesus.
Yeah, this baby got taller and the sound of his voice got lower. And we'd always laugh, Jesus with you, puberty.
It came on the radio one time, and I thought it was the corniest song ever. And Lacey knows every single word to the whole. It's so bad.
We'll have that song on the show.
Yeah, maybe we can put that song on the show. Yeah. Well, we got a good show for you guys. Rick Cuellar, or how did you
Cuellar.
Say?
Cuellar.
Cuellar.
When you have two L's, they cancel each other out and put in a Y.
Like a Cuello.
Well, he is coming in studio. And if you don't know who that is, he is on staff as one of our facility people. He's over at Fig Garden a lot. And then he's also an intern for our spiritual formation team over at Fig Garden as well. And him and I have slightly struck up a bit of a friendship. And I like the
just
guy.
Just a bit of one.
He's also on my...
Don't give that away yet.
Don't give what away?
What he's on.
What you're about to say.
It's too late. Now you got to say
it. Don't do it. Save it for the interview segment.
For the retreat?
Oh, no.
I'll save that for the interview segment. Yeah. He is on my broom hockey team for our staff retreat.
Don't say it.
Don't you dare say it.
Don't say broom hockey.
Ready to go. Whoa.
So, wait, last thing, and then we'll take a break here. Have you ever seen...
You're wearing a really nice button-up, by the way.
Thank you.
He did have his top collar button. I told him he looked like a silly person.
SNL showed this Christmas thing this past weekend, like all their best Christmas bits. And there's this one Christmas bit called Mark Jensen's Family Christmas. And it's Will Ferrell on this like spinny wheel thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like singing Christmas carols. And then the spinny wheel like starts going a little too fast. And he's like, this thing needs to slow down. And he just barfs. It's like, seriously, if you've never seen it, Mark Jensen, Family Christmas, please watch it.
I would love to see that at the pitch meeting. Like,
oh, yeah.
It is all right, so what do you got this week? Well, I'm going to be on a merry-go-round. It's going to go real fast. I'm going to throw up everywhere.
Yeah.
I love it.
Lauren Michaels is like, yes, done. Exactly. Well, hey, we got a good show. So we'll also do our sermon discussion on 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4, talking about giving. And so we will all give our tithe money here in the center during that segment.
Mm. As worship.
As worship. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. But give from your heart, guys. Give from your heart.
Not from your wallet.
Not from your wallet. Hey, you know what? There's never enough check at the end of the month.
You're right. There's always more month than what?
I forget what he says. Well, we'll talk about that next.
There's more month at the end of the check.
There's always more check month at the end of public. The check. So stay tuned for that. Enjoy some Christmas music, and we will talk about the sermon next.
By night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and down.
God doesn't need your money. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He doesn't need our two bits. He doesn't even want our money. God wants us. He wants all of us. But he knows that where our treasure is, our heart will be also. So he knows until he has our treasure, he doesn't really have us. So the challenge for you as we wrap up this passage is to just ask the question, does God have you? All of you. For God so loved the world that he gave. How about you? We say, oh, time and talents. Yes, I'm steadfast and movable. I'm always abounding in the labor of the Lord. And we go, how about your giving? Ooh, I don't want to talk about that. It's a spiritual indicator. It just shows spiritual maturity or a lack thereof. As Christians, we need to consider stewardship a tremendous opportunity for God to get all of us. Because as soon as there is no longer a financial idol in our life, we break into a whole new intimacy with the Lord. And for those of you who are on the other side of it, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
All right. That was a clip from this past week's sermon from 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4. And I believe that next week will be our last week in 1 Corinthians. So it has been a long journey. But this past segment, 1 through 4, these passages were essentially Paul, once again, writing to the church of Corinth. And he is writing to this church specifically on giving and giving to... other churches in the area, like ministries in need in the area, things in need in the area. But people are, he leaves it very open-ended, very vague in 1 Corinthians 1 through 4. And so he actually revisits this issue in 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 9. Mm-hmm. And so Brad read the 1 through 4 and kind of talked about that a little bit, but he also went to the revisited part of what does it mean to give? And we need to give not like we always think the 10% thing or whatever, but, and Brad kind of walked through, here are the steps of giving as far as what does it look like for you to give to the church? Mm-hmm. And he kind of broke up his sermon a little bit. He went through the 1 Corinthians 1 through 4, and then 2 Corinthians, and then kind of did five principles of giving in the church. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess the first thing is out of like all these principles that he talked about, and we can discuss this, like the 10% thing, most people coming to church think I have to give 10%, right? Mm-hmm. I remember having a conversation with a guy before a junior high service. He randomly just showed up to he's an older gentleman. He saw there were people here and he thought it was their church tonight.
On like a Tuesday night.
On like a Tuesday night, just kind of randomly showed up. And we ended up talking for about an hour and a half just about giving and
An hour and a half. That's like a long time.
Dude, yes, long time. And he goes to a local church in town that passes the plate, and he feels like every time he shows up there, he has to give 10% of whatever he makes. And it's one of those things where he's like, I'm down and out. I've lost my job and I can't give anymore. So God's not going to love me. God's not going to bless me. I'm never going to get a job if I don't give. And he's just like, it's ingrained in his brain that that's how God works. So I don't know if you guys ever encountered people like that. You guys deal with calling people all the time who, I don't know. Yeah.
I've never talked to anyone about their theology of giving necessarily. Sure. I have talked to people about whether it's okay to tithe to, like, can it still be counted as your tithe if you give, like, say you buy groceries for your next door neighbor, like, you know, and my friend at the time was just like, oh, that's my tithe. I gave to my next door neighbor. And we talked through, is that biblical? Is that okay? Like, what do you think? So, anyways, I've talked about that before, but never like,
and Brad addressed that issue as well in the sense of like, yes, that's very important, but I think it's also equally as important to give to your church first and then give back into your community as well.
Yeah, he was saying there's a difference between tithes and offerings and like that would be considered an offering, not a tithe.
Right.
Yeah. Because the whole definition of a tithe is to give to the church and you're allowed to give gifts and offerings however you want, but tithing is its own entity.
Sure. And I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but he doesn't use the word tithe in 1 Corinthians, does he?
I don't think so.
I think he uses, I think tithe is an Old Testament word.
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily used in the New Testament. It's more like an offering to the church. But if you've ever been at the well for a long time, this is not a...
you've been in the building for more than 3.5 hours.
You've been at the well for a long time. The subject of finances or money doesn't necessarily get brought up often. In fact, off air, Sarah said, I feel like this is what people would hear if they went to a discovery. Or if you go to a state of the church type thing.
Yeah.
We don't address it as often. And this was just, I think, a great opportunity to address it. And I don't know, like, how do you guys feel about the well not bringing it up as often as we do? I mean, Brad made a joke. Nobody knows where our tithe boxes are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that for a while it was never an issue, but even he had said that less than 7% of our body give.
Yeah.
And that puts the well in a financial
hardship.
Yeah, so it's a biblical principle to give and to tithe, however you want to say it. So if we're going to talk about hard issues like spiritual gifts or like
marriage, divorce, remarriage,
those things, like, just because you don't want to mess with people's pocketbooks doesn't mean that you can't bring that stuff up too. I don't think it's right to, because I have been at churches where it's like the like thermometer on the wall, this is what we're going for. Yeah. We want a new building, we need this much money.
Sure.
When your pastor's wearing like designer jeans and it just is a little bit off, but I don't think that even the way it was presented this week was in any way like weird, because a lot of it was turned into like, it depends on your heart. If you're tied to your money, then like the Lord doesn't have all of you. Mm-hmm. So
I think it's good to bring it up. And you brought up the point that Brad brought up of the less than 7% of the church gives. There was a lady sitting behind me at the service, and she said, like, I could hear it under her breath go, that's bad. Like she said that. And I remember a couple months ago, we were at the 7 o'clock service, and Brad made just a mention just to the 7 o'clock. And he said that something like 10 people on average at the 7 o'clock service give. And there's probably 300 people at the 7 o'clock.
At least.
least.
Yeah. And so 10 out of those people are giving on a weekly basis. It's just like, wow, that is something to think about for
I
sure.
I think like it's done in such a way where I feel like we could afford to talk about it more because it's done from a right heart. I feel like he just presents information. He doesn't do any guiltings or anything.
Sure.
Even with the whole 7% stuff, like that's just information we need to know. And it's a hard, even though it might make someone feel guilty. Great. I mean, maybe that's the Holy Spirit prompting you, but it's his motivation isn't to make anyone feel guilty. His motivation. So I feel like he could probably talk about it more often than he does, or not he, but we.
Well, the drummer yesterday was wearing designer jeans. So what do you have to say about that, Kevin?
Right from Kohl's. I put these holes. I put these phrase in the back. All my own.
Wow. Oh, good stuff, dude.
You asked me, so I'm going to throw it out there. I couldn't do a half hour on tithe. I couldn't do it. If I was Brad and they're like, hey, half hour on tithe, here we go. Talk to people, make sure that they bring their money. Couldn't do it. It would be like 5 minutes. It'd be like, hey, guys, you're supposed to.
Because it's awkward or what?
No, it would just be you're supposed to do this.
Sure.
I'm not going to paint you a picture and like all this crazy pretty. Like, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that's why he took it to that different level of it's not about your money, it's about your heart.
Sure.
Because he went 40 minutes, Kevin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I couldn't do that. That's just so much time to say, hey, the Bible says you probably should pay for the people that you take advantage of the services here.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's coffee. Your sermon. Yeah, period. Like, just do that. And make sure to not be a jerk to everybody that's around you. And,
but I think that I think we could have it where it's a short thing.
I'm going to start preaching on Sunday, by the way.
Yeah.
Over PJ.
No, but if we were to make a mention every other week about it, I don't think we'd have to have a 40-minute sermon about it. But I think it's good to bring up the heart behind the whole thing, but it is something that's not necessarily mentioned every Sunday of, a short 1 minute campus pastor says something at the end. Recognize your heart in this, our tithe boxes are over here. We do put info cards in the tithe box, but not necessarily.
It's hard. I mean, because really the church is in need. And so how do you portray that without it being just a guilting, you know, like you want to share with the people, like what this is the actuality of what is going on.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It was one of the things that, this was probably one of the bigger things I got out of Brad's message is that everybody should give. So we should have on a piece of paper 100% of the people in our church, if they're going to our church besides newcomers, but if you call yourself family, 100% of our people who call the Well family should be giving something to the Well. It does not have to be the same every month. It could be 1 month, $5, and the next month, $500. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more about you should be giving every week, every month, whatever that is. And at the end of the year, when only 7% of, let's just say, family is giving, then you go, spiritually, there is an issue there. Yeah. And I think that is what Brad tried to mention of it's an issue of the heart, but all of the above, just going, look, this is a spiritual indicator of, hey, where you're at. Maybe you're great in all these other areas, and we talk about the anatomy of a disciple, but this is an area of being a disciple. Mm-hmm. It's a characteristic of a disciple. And if you're struggling in that area, then that's something you need to work on, you know? Mm-hmm. And Brad also mentioned automatic tithe. And I don't know, what are your guys' feelings on automatic tithe?
It works for me.
Okay.
So I'm a user of it, and it's great because I get my email.
Oh, I hope you enjoy hell, Sarah.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Satan lives online.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was funny. Yeah, Satan's on the internet. But I get an email every month that says, thank you for your contribution or whatever. And it's great because I
doesn't really make a fart noise.
Farts also.
I wish that was true.
But it's great because I'm just like Brad, where I'd forget all the time. And then like once a year, be like, oh, I guess this is what I would have given if I had brought my checkbook, but it's always way, way less. Cause you know,
So yeah, I think it's a good venue. To give online.
You seem like you have a qualm with it.
I have no qualm with it. And Brad, I mean, he made fun of people like me, but I definitely am more in the category of like, I think it's good to feel it. I think I believe in like Dave Ramsey's model in general. So when I go and buy food at the grocery store, I'm going to pay cash with it because you feel it versus a credit card paying for whatever that is. So same would go with tithe as well. Whereas
for you,
for me personally, I have no problem with online giving. It's more just like, I think for me, it's good. It's healthy for me to feel it.
And sometimes it's better for me because I know because I set it like this is how much I give every month. And then I don't have a choice in the matter. But if I have the choice every week, then I might give lower, you know. But if it's just done, then I look at it and go, oh, that hurt. Okay, well, you know what? It's already done. So that's it.
Sure. Now, Kevin, I have a question for you.
Do it.
And you'll be honest with us?
Yep.
Okay. We all three are on staff at the Well. You are not on staff at the Well.
This is true.
Okay.
I'm the only person not being paid to be here right now. So I can speak the truth now.
So my question is
Jay's just burning lasers.
I think sometimes, and this is very hard because when you give to a church, and I mean, growing up, I went to a church that we gave to. I worked at a church that I gave to. And you see, you give your money, and then you have to trust that God's going to use this money, right? But sometimes, if you're an outsider, you can look at, maybe it's not the Well, but Jane mentioned a pastor with designer jeans or whatever that may be. Sometimes you see stuff and you're like, is this where my money's going towards? Does that make sense? Like, I don't agree that that's what my money's being spent for, so then therefore I'm not going to give. And I know there are people that are like that. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, I don't agree that what this is being used for, so I'm not going to give. Jane, you look at me like super upset or something.
I'm not upset at all.
Okay.
That's neutral.
Have you ever had that feeling before, Kevin? Or no? I mean,
never. I just always trust in the Lord. And, you know, I just give. I give with a cheerful heart. And
sure.
I smile. What I like to do is once a month when I get my paycheck, I pull 10% off of it. And then I get my Dove tambourine and I put on a robe and I make a wreath of flowers and I dance to the tithe box.
Okay.
And I sing hallelujah.
To make sure it goes to the right places.
That's right. No, I mean, we've talked about this before.
Sure.
Everybody gets all fruffled and whatnot. But there, yeah, like there, you know, sometimes you see stuff and you're like, really, really,
yeah.
Really? We got four buildings and two janitors and, 12 pastors. Really? We doing this? And then you just, it's, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm not here. I'm not doing it.
Sure.
So there's gotta be a reason for it. I'm not going anywhere else. I've been to other churches. I'm not a big fan for the most part. That's the truth. I mean,
sure. But I think that at every church, there's going to be that little bit of like, it is tough because you have to trust that God is going to use this money where he wants it. A great, for instance, is we'll buy a box of Twinkies for like a junior high group game or
not
something.
Not anymore.
Well, sure. But I'm bringing that up as an example. And when I buy that box of Twinkies, I must be thinking, if somebody knew that their, you know, $6 was going towards a box of Twinkies, how would they feel about that? You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. And it's just one of those things where I thought, that's where it comes into. It's a hard issue. It's not, you can't judge where this money's going to go, or you can't tell somebody where this money's going
to
go.
If you're going to have that attitude, then you just need to not go there.
Sure.
You know, like just go somewhere else that you know, if you can't cheerfully give and just be like, I'm happy to give this money because I like what this church is doing.
Sure.
You know, and nobody's perfect. No church is going to be perfect, but if you're going to go into it with like begrudgingly and going like, all right, here's this money, but you know, better not go to Twinkies. And it's just like, you know, it's like if somebody saw you wearing this shirt, they might be upset about the tithe that pays
nice
your salary,
shirt.
You know, that you spent your money on that shirt. I mean, that could that could be a bad witness to a lot of people. I'm just saying, you're all right.
Here.
Christian is going to die right now. What is happening right now?
Oh, this Dr. Pepper is horrible.
It's Diet Coke.
What's wrong with you?
Swallowed on my own spit.
The Holy Spirit convicting him.
That's right.
Yeah, it's because your shirt.
I almost cast the demons out right now.
Sorry, audience out there.
That's good. You got really red fast, and then it went away, and you got pale again.
You stuck your tongue out while you were coughing. Yeah.
I was trying to get to something in my throat. I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. This is a professional audio recording, so.
Yeah.
Is it?
Sorry, I just totally got us off track. But I understand what you're saying, Kevin.
That's good.
Kevin.
All this to be said, I think the core of what Brad is trying to get at is really, it's all about your heart. And it's a heart issue. And we need to give, I think, each month what Paul basically gives, give whatever you want. Give what you think is best. Give what you think is the best and what you can give this month. And he mentioned the widow's mite story where this guy gives, you know, cuts $1 million check or whatever. And then he walks away and he's like, yeah, I did a good job. See you guys later. And then the widow walks in and gives every penny she has. And Jesus goes, that's exactly what I want. And I think it's just a heart issue. So
Kevin, maybe you should put away the dove tambourine and the robe.
No. And the flower necklace.
That's what cheerful giving looks like for me.
For sure.
It has to be a linen robe. I didn't mention that.
I do hope, though, that haircloth. This is not a thing that we don't hear about for the next year. You know, I do hope that it is something mentioned periodically. I think it's helpful for our church in general to hear it. Just like we mentioned, go be a light in your community. You know, same thing. Continue
go
to
go be a light and don't forget to tithe.
I think the big thing about this, the whole deal that I would say is if you're listening and it's something you struggle with, do it. Like, just make a decision to do it. And then when it comes time to, you know, do whatever you're going to do, if it's automatic, whatever, or sure. If it's cutting a check or whatever you're doing, or taking one watermelon out of your field and bringing it to the church.
We like watermelon in the office.
That would be a watermelon farmer that only farms 10 watermelons a year.
Sure.
it's not be legalistic. What I would say at the point when you're going, oh, I don't want to do this, don't work on, well, I'm not cheerful about it, so I'm not going to do it.
Sure.
Work on, I need to learn how to be cheerful
sure.
with mm-hmm. it or whatever, you know, just be satisfied in it. Because
like contentment, really.
Yeah, you ask me about that. You know, it's something I could berate and be like, I don't like this, that, and the other. Sure. And Brad's too handsome to be on stage, and I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to try to be happy.
Sure.
You know?
But I think that is a genuine struggle that the average churchgoer struggles with, you know? And you look at the sacrificially generous on the anatomy of a disciple test, you can mm-hmm. see the results. And, it's a thing that a lot of people struggle yeah. with. And so it is something where I think church as a whole, but I don't think it's just the well. I think it's Christians in general and the world, Western culture that we live in today of this is my money, I do what I want with it, versus being content with what God has given you and continually giving back.
And I could probably, chances are you're not going to regret tithing.
Sure.
Like, you will look back if you don't and think, maybe I should have. But I doubt that you'll look back and think, man, I shouldn't have given my money.
Sure.
I shouldn't have given to the church. You know?
Sure. Well, I think that if you want, I think, to ask more questions on this, if you've never been to our discovery class, we mentioned earlier, but yeah. we really do go into even more in-depth about how we give, the breakdown of the finances at the well, if you're ever curious. You can find the breakdown of that at every campus. We have like a fiscal
pamphlet
and just tells where our money goes every year if you're ever curious about that.
And we're an open book, so you're allowed to ask book. Any question or ask to see any figure and you're allowed to see it.
Sure. And so that is I think something that people behind the scenes may want to know about or not. Mm-hmm. So with that, we will kind of end things 1 Corinthians next week and wrap the whole book up.
We should have like a party.
Should have. It's the 85th episode as well. 85-year-old party. Uh-huh. But up next, we will have Rick
Cuellar.
He's giving
the pointer finger.
He's giving us the fingers. So he will be in here next. Enjoy some more Christmas music. Oh,
come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, oh come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Fa-la-la-la-la,
yeah,
fa-la-la-la.
Exalted.
citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord.
Yes, welcome back. We are here with Rick Cuellar. The L cancels out the other L and you insert in a Y.
It's Cuellar.
Cuellar.
Like quail.
But your first name is Ricardo.
Ricardo. You don't call me Ricardo, though. You call me Rick.
Can I tell you a quick story about a guy who was in elementary school like, named Ricardo? Ricardo. Okay. Ricardo was really into basketball, and I was really into basketball. And so I had all these basketball pens or pencils, these NBA basketball pencils, and then they ended up stolen one week. And I blamed Ricardo.
Why? Because it's a Mexican name?
No. I blamed Ricardo and like hated him for the rest of my like career in elementary school.
Oh, how man. Dare you?
No, he was Hispanic.
Did he steal them?
He never admitted to stealing them, but I never spoke to him after that day because they were all gone.
Did you call him Ricardo?
Oh, a lot of kids. A lot of kids did. Yes. I never did. I was a nice kid, so I know. So Rick, you're on staff at the Well. What is your official position at the Well?
My official position is facilities manager of the Fig Garden campus.
Okay.
Boom.
Sounds good.
Baller status there. Now we kind of talked about this a little off air, but you had no idea until this very moment that Well even had a podcast, correct?
No, I just thought it was the sermons were online. You can hear them again, but I never knew it was like people talking in a room in a circle.
It's kind of like a support group.
Well, don't tell anybody.
It's like a life group on.
That's a bad way to describe the Spoutcast. It's a group of people who sit in a circle and talk. You know.
But we do talk about how we are a life group because we do share life together, don't we, guys?
So this gives me an indicator that somebody on staff has no idea that we have a podcast.
I've never heard it been announced. Never heard it been talked about.
It is on the promo loop. If you sit in on a service, it's on the slides that play before church.
And it's the second option on the Well app. For audio.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you get told to not mention it like a fourth time?
I was giving a sermon. I was giving a sermon two summers ago. And then this next summer I was supposed to teach. And Brad was like, hey, don't mention it. Like, don't mention the Spoutcast.
Oh, so,
such a hater.
Well, because it was like, cross promotion in a sense. Like, Brad wouldn't go up there. I mean, I guess he sort of does.
He talks
about Fresno State. Yeah, he does. So maybe, well, if Brad was like invested in a business or whatever, like, hey, make sure you guys check out American Express. They're
great
credit card.
Are you getting paid extra for this?
No, nothing. Rick, you've never heard about it. So hopefully we can, You'll spread the word after today.
We'll see how it goes.
All right. You are also, though, you're on staff at the Well as a facilities manager, but you're also an intern as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
What is your internship role like at the Well?
Intern under Dave Albwell, the campus pastor at Fig.
Okay.
It's pretty good. Just hanging out with him a lot. I'm working with life groups, just kind of seeing how ministries run the back end of it.
Okay.
And so it's been going really good.
Now, are you doing residency as well?
No, I did residency 2 years ago.
Okay.
Ooh. So you just go, do you go on Tuesdays though to residency?
No.
Oh, I thought some of the interns had to do that. Well,
no.
Well,
some interns hear this. Correct. Did you already do spiritual formation days a couple years ago?
No. We didn't have it.
Oh, you guys had it together.
Well,
it's all right.
Res together.
Dale won't hear this, right?
No, he doesn't listen.
Okay.
So you're good.
So what listen is us.
As far as your facilities job goes, that's obviously much different than.
Oh, yeah.
So what does your facilities job entail?
Anything that needs any kind of maintenance. I mean, if the light bulbs are out, if our gutters are full of leaves, pretty much anything. If it's anything big, like AC's broken down, obviously I don't know how to work an AC that
good.
Sure. Got to call someone. But so pretty light work.
A Sunday, you're predominantly there all day?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sunday, all three services at Fig, I'll be there. Anything goes down. A lot of times, heater won't kick on. Go check it out. See if I could do anything.
How do those two roles overlap, or they don't really at all? Like, are you, because on Sunday you're probably working on maintenance stuff, but are you ever thinking about spiritual formation stuff? Or?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think they overlap all the time. Just because one of my big things Dave wanted me to do was just connect with people on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
go around, just talk to people, see how they're doing, how their week's going, how they can connect connect to the well. And with facilities, I'm pretty much everywhere.
Sure.
So it really helps out. I get to meet people I would have never talked to before.
Sure.
Through kids, through every ministry is a thing, through facilities. I'm not just in one spot. So I think it definitely boosts my internship in a lot of ways. Sure.
Are you enjoying the internship?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a blast.
What, I mean, we've had other interns on here before, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What's, who?
Yeah, who?
Maybe we haven't.
Jordan Hoke.
Oh. Coleman. Hey.
Coleman did come on the show, yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some highlights from the internship? What are you enjoying? Because we do, I mean, our hope is that through you or whatever other interns come on the show is that people would be like, oh, maybe I'm interested in that. So what are some areas you like about? Kevin's thinking about doing an internship, 33 years old.
Kevin, hey, there it is.
I'm ready to go.
Definitely a lot of the sidebar conversations are highlights. Like just being able to hang out with the guys in the office, like Andrew Feil, Jordan
Hogue. What
about
girls? And the gals?
Yeah, being able to hang out with the guys at the office. Like, I'm just kidding. Yes.
Boom.
Yes, great conversations with the gals as well. Definitely sidebar conversations are great though. Just being able to connect with people, just not even just business talk, just how we're doing. It's just been a great time. Definitely the relationships is the high point of it.
Now, Rick and I don't know why you wanted to save this, Jane.
Because it's a cool fact.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, okay. I'll break it down. Okay. Matt Price, who is Karen Price's husband, who we've had on the show, I was not here. He has been trying get me to play rugby with him for the last two staff retreats, since Karen's been on staff, because I played in high school.
Yeah, but he's never gone to our staff retreat.
Yeah, he's gone twice.
He said he's gone a couple of times.
Yeah.
He loves it.
And so we've chatted, we've hung out, talked staff retreat, or talked rugby, talked how I played in high school, and then kind of left it at that. You should come out and play. I'm like, it's a bunch of old dudes, I don't know. And then Rick came on staff and found out somehow that I played rugby, maybe through Pete Hingano.
Yeah,
okay, so, and you are a Selma kid, Sanger kid?
Sanger.
Okay. So somehow you found this out and you invited me out there to rugby. And so now we are rugby teammates, although you don't show up to practice or can't play in the games.
Hey, I go to practice. We just play different days.
So me and Rick are now rugby teammates, and I'm having a good time out there.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. Christian played Saturday. He tore it up.
I got killed.
Isn't rugby like a really like aggressive, mean sport?
Haven't you seen Christian? He's pretty aggressive.
But is that what's going on right here?
My eye. I have a cut on my eye that was because
It's the bridge of your nose.
It's the bridge of my nose. About a 65-year-old man stiff-armed me and fully
older than 60. He was at least 75.
No,
he is old.
Old guy. Quickly.
So old guy. He's about a 75-year-old guy.
Don't let him do that to you.
He stiff-armed me like I can't. He's not making a fist, but all of his fingers are like this, and he stiff-armed me, and it was like a punch, and he just caught my eye. And afterwards, after the game, I'm like, hey, man, nice stiff-arm. And he's like, dude, you cool? You good? And I'm like, I'm doing all right. And he's like, I saw you, and I had to put my arm out there, man. And I'm like,
you want a Werther's original to make it okay?
Holy moly.
He definitely is an old guy.
Oh, he is a real guy.
Man.
Do you wear like protective goggles?
No, goggles in rugby.
Goggles are not allowed in rugby.
Do you wear a mouth guard?
You do wear a mouth. Yes, you have to wear a mouth.
That's like you'll get.
Here's the way that I would describe rugby and
lacrosse. That's what I've been thinking.
You're thinking probably lacrosse.
Okay.
No sticks in rugby.
Rugby is actually
goggles in lacrosse.
Yeah,
you do. Not like swim goggles.
They're like sunglasses. No,
they're like just little protective glasses.
Yeah,
and they cover their ears.
It's very, I think that's water polo.
No,
I think that's wrestling when they come to
ears. American or sports and stuff.
I would describe it this way. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't actually think it is a violent sport. I think it is a I would argue that football is like it's people wanting to bash heads with one another. Whereas rugby, it's just part of the sport. It's not violent. You tackle people. That's what you do. Whereas like there's a lot of showboating in football. There's a lot of bashing. Like you want to hit somebody, you know, you make the highlight reel if you hit somebody.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you look at a rugby highlight reel versus a football highlight reel, it's going to be all these tackles. Whereas rugby, it's more like cool kicks or cool runs or whatever. And so it's different. Does that make sense?
The philosophy behind.
Kevin looks like he's like, you're an idiot.
It's definitely more finesse than football.
Sure.
Finesse.
Yeah, well, in rugby, you have to, wrap up. Where in football, you can just throw your body at him.
Sure.
Where you don't even have to, you can just hit him with your head.
Takes more technique.
Oh, yeah. In rugby, you actually got to go down with him as well. You can't just throw him to the ground.
You have to go down with
Rick was, yeah, you definitely have to
it's
tackle
a big,
him
it's
to
a
the
red
ground.
Card. You're out of the game if you don't.
Wow.
Rick was making fun of me all game on Sunday. And I feel
he was
like.
The only one with white shorts. Everyone else had blue shorts.
Yeah. I was kind of an idiot. Oh, well, but it's fun out there, and I appreciate you.
He's a minimalist.
I am a minimalist. I appreciate you inviting me out there, Rick, and you're having a good time out there. You played last year, correct?
Oh, yeah, I played last year.
Kevin's thinking about joining.
Oh, really? Oh, Kevin will do good.
Wow.
You'd be great out there, dude.
Yeah.
You could go, like.
Kevin, didn't you used to be, like, a physical trainer?
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, physically, yes. I was a physical trainer.
I feel like you'd be great out there.
I used to be a lot of things, man. I used to be single, too. I could probably pick up on women. It just wouldn't work so well right now. I get in trouble. I it ain't happening.
You said you weren't having a good day. Maybe joining a rugby team would like
help get your aggression.
We could be
out.
Like the Three Musketeers.
Now, how do you balance all your time with all these things going on? Are you in school or?
No, I just got out of the police academy.
Okay. So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Police academy. So what's that like?
Christian?
I honestly had no idea.
Do you bring your taser to the rugby field?
No, I don't take my taser. Take my gun. Just kidding.
Explain that to us. What police academy? When did you start?
Fresno City College Police Academy, the only one in the Valley.
Okay.
Well, no, there's one in Hanford. Well, besides that. I started in January. I already graduated in June.
Okay.
So I'm in backgrounds with a couple of agencies. Hopefully that goes well.
Very cool.
What are backgrounds?
You got to go through a background investigation. Pretty much make sure you're not lying on your application. They'll call your past employers, things like that.
You they can talk to you. Make us your references since.
Yeah, Spoutcast reference.
Spoutcast. Oh, yeah. I'll let them hear this, you know, so they know I'm legit. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So what is the ultimate goal in that then?
I'm definitely trying to do something in law enforcement right now, full time. So I'm trying to get in some agencies right now. See how it goes.
Like, what kind of cop do you want to be? Or I don't know. I know nothing other than Will Smith was in Men in Black. You know, so
that's the only thing you know about police.
Well, he's a police officer and he's a detective and he's the fastest detective because he runs down an alien member up the stairs.
Yeah.
And I thought at one point I want to be a police officer. And remember in Men in Black when he shoots the girl with the tissue? No,
part one.
Part one.
I was like six.
Remember, all these aliens appear, and he shoots the one girl that's like a little baby girl with a tissue coming out of her. Dave Johnson's with her.
I mean, I don't remember it. It's just I'm trying to connect the dots.
All I can think of is
yeah, I'm
the
going
song.
Through the academy, and he's like, you're seen Men in Black.
So what's the ultimate goal? Sorry, Sarah.
I'm just wondering, how many times have you brought up Men in Black on this show?
I enjoy those movies.
I'm going to say 24. Like, you bring it up as often as you can. You know what that reminds me of? Have you ever seen Men in Black?
So it's Easter time, folks. You know what that means. Men in Black Marathon. We were talking about tithing, which reminds me of Men in Black because they had money in that movie.
All right.
Oh, man.
So what, how many so aliens yeah, so are you going right,
to what
kill?
Type of law enforcement would you like to be involved in?
Other than aliens.
Maybe these guys are better at interviewing.
If it was my choice, ultimate goal, I definitely want to do some school resource officer, like working at the high schools, things like that. Also just being more coming a community resource officer as well.
What would that be?
Working with the community in different programs that the department might offer, like PAL and things like that.
So you don't want to be like in a car.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh,
I do.
Oh,
yeah, but there's definitely a lot of different units you can do as well in the department. So.
You probably don't want to be the guy that writes tickets, though. You want to be the guy that like slides over the hood, right? You
is
know,
I don't.
Is that a Men in Black reference?
No, you know that's.
You want to like pit cars and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, like Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
You want to like pull out your gun a lot.
No.
No.
Probably not.
You can't even joke about that.
No.
This is a serious show, Jane.
Wait, why is that a joke?
Because like when cops, you really don't want to pull your gun out if you're really a police officer.
Yeah. Do you? Now, this is
stone over
this
here.
This is where I'm like insanely naive and know nothing about cop work or anything like that.
This is when he's so naive about cops.
Do you watch like Cops or like Southland? Or,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like that movie End of Watch. Such a good
Reno
movie.
Reno 911.
Okay. No. I watch it. It's pretty funny.
Okay, no.
Dave Johnson was like perfectly straight faced. Sarah mentions Reno 911. He loses it in the studio.
You
Dude, I had no, I had no idea about that.
Yeah, and so going through backgrounds of some places right now. See
so
how
you're
goes.
Probably looking, correct me if I'm wrong, you're probably looking to somehow fuse what you're learning with Dave right now and use it in the law enforcement area.
Oh, yeah. Long run, I mean, it'd be great to
spiritual
be,
formation of the police
oh,
officers.
It's being a chaplain down the road would definitely be an option I would want to do.
Do they
well.
Have those in the police yeah. academy or
yeah.
police force?
Usually, yeah, they have them.
Is one of the requirements watching like all nine Police Academy movies?
No, I've never seen any of them.
He is cracking himself up, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man.
Is anybody Christians. Else really resisting using their microphone stand as a gun right now?
Ooh. Yes.
Ooh.
I've gone through background check with two friends that are, one of them was in the FBI and the other one is a highway patrolman. And the reason that, like, even you're like, why would you want to put your gun on? Because they are so thorough in the background sometimes. Like, they may even check this podcast and be like, there was a joke about you pulling your gun out infrequently. Yeah. Now, so is that something that we should be worried about?
Well, but see, he answered it perfectly, actually.
I know, it's perfect.
All four of us idiots were like, yeah.
When I went through background with my buddy Rob, they were just like, so does Rob, he likes party, right? He likes party. I'm like, not really. And he's like, he smokes a little. He smokes a little bit, right? I'm like, no.
So they're even trying to get like, you to.
Wow. Like, so oh, you've wow. never seen him smoke, you know, a little bit of the, you know. No, not at all. I'm like, okay, all right, we're just checking. I'm just like, okay. It's weird.
Well, Rick, way to answer that question correctly. Yeah, I know. See, I was testing you because they've already called me and asked.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I said, no, you don't like to use your gun.
So, man, you got a lot of exciting things.
Then I said, me, on the other hand.
Right. Jane will never be a police officer.
So you've got a lot of exciting things, I guess, coming up for you. Oh, yeah. Just like for the future of you. How old are you?
I'm 22.
22. Okay.
And
so
engaged as well. Deuce.
That's right.
Yeah. Engaged. You are? Whoop, whoop.
When, where's she from?
She's from Sanger.
Okay.
High school sweetheart?
No. Oh, right. We met after high school. Yeah, after high school from our old church.
So she goes to the well, I'm assuming.
Yeah, she goes to the well.
Okay, and where'd you guys meet?
We met at our old church, Sanger Methodist Church.
And just like hit it off? And how long did you guys date before you got engaged?
Oh, we probably dated about
2 weeks?
Years, maybe.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, long time. Yeah, right. Long time.
I mean, it's no six
and she,
years, right,
how
Kevin?
Does she feel about police stuff?
Oh, I mean, she loves it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she likes it.
She
doesn't mind
me
doing
academy
it.
Academy with you?
What was that?
Joke. Never mind.
Oh.
She didn't do it with you?
Yeah. No, she didn't do it with me. Well, she pretty much did. It was very inclusive.
Well, she had to watch all nine Police Academy films
oh,
with
yeah.
you?
And Men in Black.
Well, Men in Black's a different agency. All right.
Oh,
so
no one knows right. about that agency.
Right. Well, Rick, I'm sorry. I just all of a sudden was like, I'm going to just start cracking jokes. So I apologize, Rick. I hope that you will listen to the Spoutcast.
Oh, yeah.
And if you are at Fig Garden and you attend that campus, do you attend the 5 o'clock service
yes,
as well?
I do.
Okay. So if you go to the 9/11 or 5, Rick is there and he is the guy with the tool belt on and the badge.
Oh, yeah.
In the,
and the vest. And everything.
Yeah, sure.
Walkie talkie.
Where do you normally have a place where you stand where people could
no,
just kind of walk
pretty
around?
Pretty much not. Pretty much walk around.
Ask a guy like Andrew File or Dave, hey, where's Rick? And he will be there. And you're coming to Staff Retreat as well.
Definitely.
So that's cool.
Excited.
That's exciting. Well, Rick, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Hopefully you don't pull me over in a couple years.
Hopefully you don't get hurt in rugby.
Man, I'm dying over here. Well, thanks for being on the show. Up right, next, man. We'll end the show with some fun stuff. Enjoy some Christmas food.
On the street with no food, it's not fair. It's about time for you to act merrily. It's about time for you to give to charity. Rarely do people even want to help at all, cause they warm by the fire, getting toys and the dolls, not thinking there's a family out hungry and cold, wishing that they had somebody they could help. So I think some of you need to act bold. Give a kid to a drive, let's change the glow. Glow, 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 glow.
All right, welcome back. We will close out the show. We do not have any announcements, but I will say this. We got a lot. We got a lot of positive feedback from last week's episode. And if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I thought it was very good. We had Ben from Neighborhood Thrift on. And a lot of
people, episode we've ever done.
Neighborhood Thrift put on that podcast on their website. Really? So if you go onto their website, you can see their podcast. And I don't know. Awesome. I got some really encouraging emails from different people that was more encouraging to like, what's his name? Brian, just saying how Brian is kind of doing exactly what we have been talking about for people at the well to do, of just continuing to be a light in your neighborhood where you live, work, and play. And Brian is definitely taking the environment where he works and loving on the people that are there. So Jane, did you have something you wanted to add to it?
Nope. Starting a new conversation. So
go for
you
it.
You need to finish.
No, I'm done.
Sarah and I enjoyed dinner with Danny and Debbie Pranesh.
Oh, I saw them at the 11 o'clock yesterday.
Yeah,
we did.
They still listen?
No, well, he had to take a little bit of a break because he was busy doing a project for work. But the project was due December 1st, so he assured us
that he's going to catch up.
Because we were telling him how great that episode was with Ben, and we were like, didn't you hear? And he's like, I haven't listened in a while.
But he said he's going to catch up within a couple days.
How disappointing is that?
I know.
But he sounds like he's back on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't call him a mega fan anymore, guys.
No, I'm a little worried.
We have fun with them, though.
Mega fan. I think Janie Richmond has listened to every single episode
the
day it comes out.
Oh, no, Tuesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday. So that's a mega fan, in my opinion.
And Hensley, too.
Hensley does listen. Yeah. And I feel like there's some other people that listen very.
Sarah Hubert. She also listens to every episode.
Melissa Scroggins. I wonder if she still listens. Scroggins.
Yeah, she used to write in a lot.
Yeah. Well, we don't really. What's up, Kevin?
Nothing.
You had something to say?
You were going to say something.
I have an announcement.
Yes.
Oh yeah. So I'm excited. The Bucket.
Bucket's
making
returns.
Its second.
Debut
on Wednesday. So
I'm Wednesday.
Wait, but wait, they're doing
not
just,
this
sorry.
Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
I believe they're doing a trailer for the Bucket to air in January.
Yep.
Oh.
So it's not a full Bucket. It's just a quick trailer. Correct.
I'm excited.
Just like a
when's
cup?
The trailer gonna
is
air?
Is it just a cup of water instead of a bucket of water?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like a wow. little.
So
it's
Kevin,
a little
are you going to be doing the news in the Bucket?
Yeah, we're kind of revamping it. Okay. I was trying to find my character again. And
are you going to listen to Pat when he gives you direction or no?
Probably not.
Okay.
we did it. I felt like I did good. Pat's out in the thing right now.
He's not going to tell you otherwise.
I didn't do any better.
Nope. No, he's shaking his head no.
He's saying no. Okay, so yeah, apparently
he's
still
probably playing Scramble this is what, Friends right now.
Kevin, you need to trust your comedic skills in going, if Pat says, just do the same thing one more time, Pat is knowing that that's funny, that's going to work, that's going
to
hit.
But well, Kevin, do you remember what you did the previous time to even reenact it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, you do?
I think he's just being stubborn. Actors
I'm not being
stubborn.
I'm what's happening is...
Craft.
Is I'll say, oh, and then Star Wars and black and blue, bloop, doop. And then I'll say, wait a second. That, and then Pat will be like, that was good. And I'm going, that was kind of okay. And then he'll be like,
I could do something
again.
Better.
Can I give you an analogy? Just being candid here.
It's, yes.
Okay. If Pat, because he's your friend, was not directing you, and let's say Martin Scorsese was directing you, okay? And he said, Kevin, I'd like you to do that scene, do it exactly the same way. What would you do?
Martin who? That's what I'd say. I'd say, excuse Martin, who? Look, Scorsio.
I'm being serious.
If Martin Scorsese told me, yes, of course I'd do it.
So it's a disrespect for the director then?
No, it's not a disrespect for the director. It's just,
if he felt as comfortable with what's his face, he probably would respond the same
right.
way because he's very comfortable with Pat.
Yeah.
They maybe have a long relationship.
Like if Adam McKay...
Yes.
Were directing me, you know, like just I'm assuming that, you know, he would see me as an equal to Will Ferrell.
Sure.
Obviously.
You know, then I'm sure there's a back and forth dialogue that goes on there.
I've heard from people who've directed, I mean, this is hearsay in the blogosphere, but I've heard from people who've directed guys like Vince Vaughn that he's very hard to direct because he doesn't take direction. And he's just like, he'll just say whatever he wants to say. And then they have to go through 30 different takes and pick the best one.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to give you some positive feedback.
I'm not
feedback
happy
here.
About it. It's not
I don't
like
know if that was positive feedback.
I'm not happy about the fact that it takes me a while to get the stuff. Sometimes we
but
do
you
it
are naturally funny.
I know, but you gotta try hard. You can't just go up and be like, beans and potatoes. People will be like, that's the one. Like, do it again. I'll be like, macaroni, beans, and potatoes.
Well,
no cheese.
I'm excited for the bucket to come back because your sign-offs are always my favorite. So, but I don't know if you're going to do the news segments anymore, but you used to have really funny sign-offs where you'd change it up every single week.
Yeah. Or sometimes you wouldn't even say real words. You could do it.
Yeah.
I think it's over.
Go back to the.
I think it's going to be a little bit different.
I will say this, Pat. We're leaking this, so my apologies. There is a Spoutcast promo in the bucket in January. Can I say that, Pat? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's
no.
Yeah. No. No.
It shows how much Christian appreciates his team because it's just him doing it. So.
Yes. It shows how much I appreciate the team.
Well, that's okay because when you're gone, we can still do it ourselves.
Okay. Ooh. Well, you guys can hate me, but I literally don't say a word about the Spoutcast in the interview.
But you're wearing your shirt.
And I point to Sarah and Kevin, and Jane's not on the shirt.
Yeah. So. Man, awesome.
Well, guys, you should check out our Instagram and or Facebook and or Twitter. But ultimately, I'm using the Instagram a lot. I like the Instagram. We take
a
photo every week.
I like that you post it on Facebook, though, too.
Yeah, I do post it on Facebook. Yeah. So, Kevin, hopefully you'll be back next week, and we'll have some more Christmas music again. You'll have a Christmas break, so you'll be able to be around a little bit more over the season.
I think Jenny's got one or two more weeks, so...
Good. Well, we'll see what happens.
But then, yeah, I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
To do my
Bring
duty.
Those one-liners,
all
right?
That's all we can ask.
Here's right. the thing about this podcast is different than the videos. You spit whatever's on your mind once, and you don't get a second shot, and it's gold every time.
Right. Every time.
That's what I say.
Pure gold. Solid gold.
All right. Well, this is The Spout.
And we're out.
She knows we'll be any second. All the blinds are pulled, every bed is full. With the both of us, this house might bust. What a blessing.